This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Tayo Roczen, who his name doesn't sound like it's spelled, but it's pretty awesome nonetheless, who is living his dream through writing, podcasting, and encouraging others to use their difference to make a difference. And I think that's a great message that definitely this show can resonate with, being the Dreamers Podcast and encouraging others to live their dream. So welcome to the show, Tayo.
Thank you very much. And I just want to thank you for this opportunity. You're my first podcast interview ever. So I'm pretty excited.
Hopefully this gets out before your other podcast interviews, because there's a chance it probably will not. But I will see what I can do there. There might be a little bit of magic to pull that off.
All right.
So let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
Okay. So I'm a 24-year-old Nigerian who grew up in four different continents, Europe, Africa, of course, Asia, and North America, and have worked in the software, nonprofit, marketing, and media industries. Currently, I run a blog, podcast, and I'm getting my MBA in New York City. And, I don't know if you want to know what I do for fun, but, I'm into sports, and I love meeting all sorts of new people every day and hearing their stories.
I mean, that's quite a life that you've lived. I mean, if you listen to the first episode of your show, As Told by Nomads,
right,
you talk about your story and how it was difficult for you to assimilate into other cultures, but then back into the original cultures and when it came time to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can remember my first move. We had moved when I was younger. I moved to Sweden initially, but I was one. You know, I wasn't really cognizant of what was going on. I just know it was a lot of snow and a lot of people with different colors around me. But I remember when I was 10 years old, and my parents told me we were moving to Burkina Faso, which is another country in West Africa. And I just completed elementary school in Nigeria. And I remember being so excited and so pumped. Nigeria speaks, English, but there are a whole lot of different tribal languages. But Burkina Faso was going to be a French-speaking country, but I was excited. So first day or first week, I got there, and then, I was in there with a bunch of Europeans, Americans, Australians, people from different cultures. And here I was, little skinny kid that didn't know any other sport other than football, soccer, football. I never know what to say. I change it all the time. And, I didn't sound like them. I didn't feel like them. So, I was a little on the outside. But then slowly I became comfortable who I was. And then that's sort of where the concept of the podcast and everything comes. You use your difference to make a difference. Embrace your identity. Everyone is ultimately different, so it's okay to not be afraid to show who you are.
So what does your dream mean to you?
My dream means the world to me, Joe. So my mission statement is, as you know, is to encourage people to use their differences to make a difference. And to out of that, I want to encourage the next set of global leaders, and not in a world domination sort of way. I want, my passion is people to solve the world's problems. So I want people to tap into their inner skills and use their skills to help come up with the next internet solution, or the next solution that could help the women in Congo, or the people in Nigeria, my home country, where we deal with a lot of religious strife sometimes, or, come up with different things, whether it's music, arts, politics, whatever, just follow their own path and use it to reach other people to do the same thing. I think too many times people focus on the wrong things, and a lot of times people try to be one guy when they can be themselves. So I think that concept of embracing who you are is often lost. And I'm just on a mission to make sure people remember that they themselves are special. So
I think it's really interesting that you didn't try to fall into the gap of, I don't want to say being fake, but assimilating, yourself into these other cultures where it's trying to mirror them.
It's funny that you bring that up, because initially, I was telling the story when I first moved to Burkina Faso. That was exactly what I did. I came in there I sounded, you know, my accent was more like, hey, how are you? This is how I talk. You know, I had a very, very thick Nigerian accent. And I thought to myself, I really need to change my accent. Right now, this is more my natural accent. But I was trying to sound like this and say different things and do different things. But you know what I realized, Joe? It was so much effort because you're just expending so much energy to try and fit in. And even if you fit in, you don't feel as comfortable, and it's like you don't feel honest with yourself. So over, you know, the years coming back to Nigeria, when I came back to Nigeria, it became this thing where I wasn't Nigerian enough, which is odd to me because I'm actually Nigerian. But then I just realized then, you know what, I can't keep changing because, you know, if you don't accept me for who I am, then it's okay. And then maybe we weren't meant to follow the same path, but I can only be me, and people that accept me will be okay with that, because you're going to have to constantly change if you want to follow everyone. And, you know, there's that saying, stand for everything and fall for nothing, or something. I think it's something like that. I can't remember right now, but something similar. So, you know, that's basically why I don't think I think it's important to embrace who you are, not try to be fake and follow everybody.
Tayo, what would you say inspires you?
I'm inspired by a lot of things. I'm inspired by people, music, books. For example, if I were to say people, I'd say the late Nelson Mandela, who can spend 27 years in jail and come out of it and still lead a nation of people, black and white, you know, lead the apartheid movement and be one of the grandfathers of, you know, democratic system in Africa. Or Oprah, who was able to turn a talk show into a media empire and ultimately have her own network of publishing magazines and different things, music, you know, a song that's out right now that's really hitting the charts is Am I Wrong by Nico and Vince. Those are two Norwegian guys that came up with the song, but the lyrics really touched me because it's reminding you of thinking outside the box, how that sometimes it's a concept that's lost. Things like that just draw inspiration to me. And if I were to go to books, it'd be maybe The Alchemist. That's a book that I really fall back on a lot. Paulo Coelho, and he's, you know, the book is all about following your personal journey. So now I'm inspired by the possibility we all have as humans to make a difference. You know, people can choose to be good or bad. I just choose to focus and emphasize on the good. It sounds cliche, but those are the type of things that inspire me.
You kind of touch on how all this came about for you. Would you like to go into a little more detail?
All right. Well, I've been blogging for years, and I didn't always have a concentrated topic. To give you a little background of, you know, when I started blogging, I was just trying to find my own voice. I did it as a hobby. I would blog about sports. I'm a huge sports guy. And I would blog about lessons I learned from that. So I would just talk about whatever came to mind. Your typical blogger, right? Just writing down personal whatever. Early in the year, I got tickets to go see Arianna Huffington at a conference. She was here in New York City doing a book tour for a book, Thrive. And she made one statement. It was just a casual statement. She said, you know, she was talking about how her kids often made fun of her accent, you know, because she has a strong Greek accent. Her accent and saying, oh, mom, are you from here? And she's, you know, she's dual citizenship. And that, for some reason, resonated with me. I remember sitting there and writing the title of the first ebook that I wrote this summer. I was like, you know what? She just explained an experience that I can relate to. And I bet there are lots of people out there that can, you know, they sound different, but are something different to other people. And there's this concept of people being third culture kids. That's what I am. It's basically someone who spent the formative periods of the years outside of the parents' culture. So they have their parents' culture, they have their culture, and they have the mix of all the cultures they've been into. So once I saw that, once I heard that statement, I wrote the title of the book. I was still a little nervous about whether it had legs. So I shared it with, you know, a few people. I got mostly good responses, but I couldn't shake it. So I decided to do the research, and I started writing and reaching out to people that were like me. And I noticed that while there was a lot of research on what third culture kids were, there wasn't a lot of emphasis on the possibilities that we could be in the global environment. I mean, these are people that have lived in different cultures, so it makes sense that they can definitely relate to people of all sorts of people in the world and be bridges between different potential problems or solutions. So I really wanted to touch on that. And then I started writing, and once I started writing, Joe, I couldn't stop. I mean, I had moments where I would be up to 4 a.m. and I have to force myself to sleep because, you know, I would have blog posts the size of books and I have to break them out. So I would, you know, schedule them out. And then I started reaching out to people and saying, hey, you want to be interviewed? I, you know, I think I want to do this podcast. I think it's going to come out in the fall. I gave myself 3 months. I think it's going to come out in the fall, and I think your story is something that people could identify with. So I would, you know, I would spend my days outside of class because I'm getting my MBA, interviewing, writing, researching, and just reaching out to people on social media. And it started to take legs. You know, I became part of the groups and put content out there, and people started to resonate with it because I guess it's something that people hadn't thought of. But what I would say that I learned from this is sometimes you just have to follow your dream. Or if you have an idea, sometimes it's okay to just do something because you never know. The worst thing that could happen is you fail, and then that in itself is a lesson. So we'll see.
So how was it received by your family when you told them that you're, you know, going to start writing books, and then eventually that led to a podcast? How's the reaction?
My family, luckily for me, they're very supportive. I remember my first blog post. It was just my mom. My mom commented on them. I remember I would get so excited when I got a comment alert, and my mom would be, it'd be Yabaroxin comments on Tyra. I was like, oh, I love you, mom, but I missed to reach someone else. And then, but then, you know, they've always been supportive. My dad, he's always, you know, both of them are great. They just encouraged me to do what I love. And, you know, I'm grateful to them for that. So, I think they received it well.
What steps did you take to get started when you first decided you were going to start writing a book?
Well, steps I took were, I started reflecting on my personal experiences, first of all, because I've lived this life. I have that experience. And then I started talking, reaching out. This is something I encourage people to do, whatever they're passionate. You know, learning is a never-ending journey. Apprenticeship, I think it's something that's so underrated. So I started reading from as many people. I was virtually being mentored by whoever, you know, I was. You know, I would study other internet entrepreneurs and try and tap into what they did, or people that built their brands online, people that wrote ebooks and what they did. And a lot of what I found was that they built relationships with the audience they were trying to reach out to. So I spent the summer reaching out to all these groups, going to all these Facebook groups, making sure people knew who I was. I was writing blog posts that had topics related to the issues of the groups, and I'll send them out, just make sure, you know, everybody knows who this guy, random guy, Tyroxin is. So I would go out there, do something every week, comment on all the blog posts. So by the time the podcast or the book came out, it wasn't like this guy randomly came out and said, whoa, you know, you don't want to be that sales guy that's like, well, you never even showed up to anything. Now you want us to buy your book. So I was building trust. And it's also something that I'm passionate about. So the passion obviously shone through. Building relationships and staying committed and being consistent, those are the three things that I would say I did. And I think it translates to anything that you want to do.
Now, working towards your MBA, do you have a full-time job as well?
Yeah, I actually accepted an offer to consult for a startup here. This fall is going to be pretty crazy because I'm going to be doing 40 hours, doing this podcast, and then doing classes as well. But, you know, it's part of the journey. You hustle hard and then you get the rewards of your hard work. But I wasn't always working. In the summer when I started this, I've been working throughout this process. But I think, you know, as long as you're following your passion and you're willing to learn, I think everything will work. You just got to pull in the hours. People say 10,000 hours. I don't know if that's true or not, but you got to put in the hours. And then it doesn't feel like work. So I guess that's the good thing for me.
You know, I think dedicated hours is more important than just 10,000 hours, because there's plenty of 10,000, you know, hours you could put in that aren't really dedicated hours.
I couldn't agree with you more, Joe. I mean, I hear it all the time, and, you know, I the point that I grasp from it is that putting in the work is what you need to do. So I don't know if it's 10,000 hours or whatever, but I think as long as you put in the work, you know, results will happen. I'm sure you can definitely identify with that. You definitely do it. You've been doing this for a while now.
A little while, not too long. So what roadblocks have you hit along the way?
A lot of roadblocks were more internal. I remember, for as long as I remember, I wanted to do something that could impact people and reach out to people. But I was always listening to the inner voice myself saying, you don't have this. You're only this young. You don't have the experience. Who's going to listen to you? Why even write? And then, I mean, it's online. Other people have done it. So I had to get over the fear. I think I was holding myself back. Even I almost didn't do this podcast, to be honest with you. I remember I just thought, I was like, who's going to want to listen to me talk? I mean, no one's going to hear my voice. What do you have to offer? So I finally just broke through that sometime this summer and said, you know what? The worst thing that can happen is you fail, and then so what? You know, I was reminded of the Thomas Edison journey to the light bulb, you know, the amount of times he failed and then he eventually found it. And he said, you know, he just found different ways not to make the light bulb. So I was going to say, I just found different ways not to have my voice be heard. So once I got over that fear, I think Roblox were fine. I mean, I did get people say, what is podcasting? I heard people say, well, why even use that medium? And no one listens to it. But, you know, what you can't always please everyone. So I think I was my biggest roadblock. And then the other people were just, you know, other people.
Hey, you know, we all get, you know, what is podcasting? You're the first person to ever say that word to me. Or I think I've heard of it before. But you know what? The truth is it's growing and they don't realize it yet, but they will be listening to it very soon.
Yeah. I mean, iTunes just, they're doing a car radio thing, right? Apple just announced they're going to do something with a car.
Yeah, CarPlay.
Yeah, CarPlay. So,
Yeah, and it's going to be default on the iPhone. I mean, as soon as that happens, it's going to open up a whole new world for lots and lots of people that didn't even realize it existed.
I agree.
So, has there been any disappointments so far?
Yeah, I mean, with life, yeah, a lot of things. I mean, I sometimes I might write something in my blog and you get like almost a 0% open rate. And then you're like, well, okay, should I give up or try again? And then you try again. And then this happened a few times, but then I've just pushed through. Other times, you know, you've had people who are really excited about being part of the show and then they cancel last minute and then you know, that type of stuff. But, you know, it's part of the journey and I'll try not to let these things bother me just because for everyone that turns down or everyone that doesn't read, someone is going to hear your voice. What everyone tells me, and people like you always tell me, people in the podcasting world is just stay consistent. And people say it pays off. So whether downloads are down or readership rates are not up, if you stay consistent, apparently it pays off. So I subscribe to that notion.
Well, you know, you're a sports fan, so I'm sure you can attest to Cal Ripken Jr. staying consistent.
Yep, yep, definitely can.
Mr. Consistency.
Yeah.
So if you were having a dinner party and you could invite anyone in the world, living or dead, who would three of those people be?
Yeah, why do you need? Wow. Okay, this is going to throw me off. All right, I already mentioned two of them, so I'm gonna have Oprah at the table. All right, you know, make sure she's over there. I pick her brain a little bit. The late Nelson Mandela, my role model. I don't know how you're gonna react to this, but this is my favorite athlete of all time. You might actually throw the mic at me right now, but LeBron James. So I'll have LeBron James, Oprah Winfrey, and Nelson Mandela, just because they've been huge influences in my life in one way or the other. So.
You care to explain the LeBron James part?
Okay. Well, for as long as I've been a LeBron James fan since he was in high school, so I have, you know, his memory. I have his first poster, whatever, his first cover, and all that. But you know, I've always identified with the story. I love, you know, how he lived and surpassed the hype. You know, a lot of people have all these pressures put on them, and then they don't actually do anything with that. Sometimes they succumb under the pressure and they live up to that. By coming back story, which might not be as popular with many people, but you know, some people are able to, you know, eat crow, come back. But the thing about LeBron that I often identify with is when you're at the best and you're not stopping. You see all the videos, you see the work, the hard work that you consistently put in the off season, continually striving for greatness. You know, it's not settling. You know, some people get to the top and then they stay there and they get complacent. And that to me is something I've always resonated with. You know, I'm not old enough to. I've really watched Jordan, but, you know, of my generation, you know, is LeBron. I mean, you see, you come out of the Denver series where, you know, you don't play as well as you should have, and then you come back and you go on. Last year, San Antonio, but then we'll see what happens. But it's just continually striving for greatness, as he always says, and just not resting on your laurels. Because people are always going to come take your spot if you don't continue, so... I don't know if that helps, but...
No, that's not a problem, as long as you invite me to dinner.
I mean, as long as you're there, the more the merrier.
So could you share a favorite memory?
Wow, there's so many. I think one that I can think of right now would probably be 1998 or 1996 Olympics and 1998 World Cup. My family This is one of the times when my family and I were together, because we're often apart. My dad's a diplomat, so he travels a lot. I'm here. They're all over the place. So we were watching, I think it was Nigeria play Argentina or Brazil. I think this was 1996, and it was just, I remember everybody just sitting together, because this is one of the few times we were actually all together. We had the food, we were joking around, and it was just that moment where everybody was together, and it was just, you know, it was fun. I like when people can often just sit down and have a familiar environment and, you know, just laugh about the things, the day or the year, or joke about any other thing. I'm very self, you know, deprecating. So, and I'm also the oldest of three. So I dish out a lot. But oftentimes, you know, people remember some of the things that I've done. And, you know, it's fun to laugh at yourself sometimes. I think it's good. And good food doesn't help. Mom's cooking is always good. So.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
One of my biggest goals is to speak at TED. That's been a goal of mine. But I say this on my website. I want a day where North and South can come sit down at the same table, East and West, and trade stories. I love my country, Nigeria. I come from a country where, you know, people let things like religious strife, you know, it's 50% Muslim and 40% Christianity, and different, like over 140 different cultures and different ethnic groups. And all these things, they let that blind them, and they don't see what the people are. It's like, oh, what are you? Are you this? I can't talk to you. I long for a day where that is not the most important thing. You know, you like you and I, we met online and then we bonded, but it's not, I'm not looking at the color or your skin or whatever. As Nelson Mandela say, I'm Nelson Mandela, and Martin Luther King would say the content of the character, but it's just seeing who people are and just talking and seeing how you can better do something, you know, advance the movement. So my biggest dream would be when people can look past that. It's a big, tall order. I know it's not something that can be done in 1 or 2 days, but it's just, it's crazy. I mean, you see that with the shooting and the looting that's happening right now. I'm constantly amazed by some of these problems that we have. It's often because people think they're so different. And I'm not entirely sure that that's the case. I think if we work together, probably a lot more things we can do, as opposed to emphasizing on whatever we're different at.
Yeah. I think there's plenty of things that people have in common. I mean, as it's been said before, you know, people just want to love and be loved.
Yeah.
Really, for the most part, that's what it comes down to. Unfortunately, the wrong people wind up giving the love, and for the wrong reasons, and then that's how you get people who do bad things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, yeah. And you have people that are raising this. Like, you have parents telling their kids, don't do that, that these people are the bad people. And that's part of that mindset often stays in them. And that's not something that's good. So,
yeah, it'll definitely be a great day when everybody can get over themselves.
I agree.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I just want to thank you, Joe. I'm not sure how I did, but I just want to say you know, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for grace and allowing me to talk to your audience. The one statement that I would say would be, he who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right. As Confucius has said that, and then, you know, Henry Ford has also said that as well. So whatever any of you, he or her, I didn't want to make it just him, want to do it, it's, you have to just try it. I mean, Joe and I'm joking, probably testify to this more. It's, podcasting is a strange new industry where people are saying it's great for opportunity or maybe not. So you just have to try whatever your dream is. Whether people are saying you can't do it, you should do it. If you really feel that passionate about it, just go ahead and do it. But if you say you can't do it, then you can't do it. Only person stopping you is actually you.
Definitely. You know, it depends on what you're looking for it to be.
Yeah.
You know, if you got these grandiose ideas, then it can be that. But at the same time, it takes a lot more work than the guy who's putting out one podcast every week or every 2 weeks or once a month.
Yeah.
Or sporadically. So it's the same. It's the consistency, like we said earlier, and it's connecting with people, because that's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love for you to plug your websites and your Twitter handle and let people know how they can connect with you.
All right. So Tyroxin, you can just TayroxKson. That's at Tyroxin on Twitter. The website is Tyroxin.com. So TayroxKson.com. You can usually find everything I'm doing on there. You reach out to me on there, I'll be happy to chat. I'm not a scary guy, so Feel free to reach out to me.
I'll have all that on howtodream.co, and so everyone can connect with you. And I'd love to have you on the show again in 6 months to a year and follow up and see how you're making out your dream, how your MBA is going, and how the podcast and your blog and your book, and hopefully multiple books by then.
Yeah. No, and I'd love to check in with you as well. I'm sure we will even before then, but I'm sure by the next time I'm on the show, you'll be this big rock star on the iTunes chart. So we'll celebrate.
We'll see about that. But if that's the case, I will take you up on that.
Okay.
No problem. Well, thanks for taking the time to come on, Tayo. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.